So today's reading is taken from Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 to the end, and then Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 to 2, verse 5 to 9, and then verse 24. So that's Numbers chapter 13, verse 27 to the end, chapter 14, verse 1 to 2, 5 to 9, and 24. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size.' We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness." Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." And verse 24. "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it."
Well, good morning, Highfields. Great to be with you today. Welcome to those of us joining online as well, including my big sister, who's watching out there somewhere as part of this church. It's great to be with you today and to share this message on courage. As Dave, thanks for that welcome, Dave. As Dave mentioned, we're looking at courage and the character of Caleb. Sometimes when you have these concepts, courage, it's good to attach them to a character, Caleb, to really get a sense of, well, what does that actually look like in person? And so that's what we're going to do together. And I'm not talking about Dutch courage. I'm not talking about bravado or medal-winning courage. I'm talking about the kind of everyday, everyone kind of courage that we all need to have in order to face the challenges and uncertainties of life. And perhaps never more so than at a time where our world, at least our nation, is emerging from a major period of disruption, and we're facing a measure of uncertainty about how we get back to something called normal, and what normal actually will be reinvented like. You know, we need courage today, perhaps more than if I'd been speaking 2 years ago. Now is a time where God's people need to exercise a bold courage in the world to demonstrate the difference that Jesus Christ makes. Amen? I sort of heard a muffled amen, but I'm assuming that's the masks. Anyway, so we're going to look at Caleb together. And I always like to put a text into its wider context so it makes a bit more sense. So I'm just going to actually draw something. You'll see that I didn't do brilliantly at arts GCSE. But that's not the point. It's more because I'm a visual learner. Is anyone else a visual learner? You kind of got to see it in order to get it. And I find that with the Bible, you know, I find it helpful just to imagine how the whole Bible might look. If you imagined it as a drawing, you know, if you sort of thought about the whole story from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, the tree of life at the beginning and the tree of life at the end and the Messiah who brings hope back to the story and the time of exile in Babylon and Egypt and the Exodus down here and the cycles of the judges and where they all fit in when Israel gets a bit stuck. You know, it's all there, but for more of that, see the Bible course. But what I'm going to do today is just this bit here, right? So if you imagine sort of blowing that up a bit larger, remember how the story goes. After God made the world good and it turned bad, he called Abraham into the story, right? So Abraham is called in, we'll call him Abe for short, and he is told that through your descendants, hope is going to come back to the world. Well, his great-grandson, Joseph, goes down into Egypt, sold as a slave by his brothers. So Joe takes the storyline down to Egypt, where for 400 years, Israel is enslaved, oppressed under the pharaohs. And then, of course, you know the story of Exodus. God steps in through Mo. If Joe took them down, it's Moses who brings them out. And in order that they might come back into, we'll just call it for short, the PL, the Promised Land. Now, the point of the story, of drawing all this up, which is this sort of small part of the whole Bible, blown up a bit larger, is this, that our guy Caleb, and the story we're going to look at, that we just had read, fits in just here. And it's Israel. They've come out of slavery, out of a period of major disruption, and they're now about to enter into the Promised Land that God had for them. And they're caught right in this moment, where they need to turn a corner. They need to make a turn from living one way to living another, and they need to have the kind of courage that gets them round the corner by God's grace and faithfulness. Now, I hope as I draw that up, that not only frames the story in its bigger Bible context, but also in our cultural context, we also are needing to make a turn, get ourselves round the corner into a brave new world of what life looks like on the other side. And it's going to take some courage. It's going to take the kind of courage that's not Caleb just mustering up something in himself. It's the kind of courage that calls to mind who God is. His faithfulness, his character, his promises are the root of true spiritual courage. And that's what we're going to unpack through the story that we've had read to us. And did you notice in that reading that as Moses, by God's instruction, commissions 12 spies to go into the Promised Land and bring back a report? They actually brought also back clusters of grapes. Did you notice that in the reading? They're so big that it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. Enormous. I hope they were seedless grapes, not all the, given all the details. But either ways, they are a symbol of how good this land is. So there's big grapes. But the report also said there are also big giants. And doesn't that sound like life? There are big grapes, all that God has for us, and there are big giants, the challenges and opposition we face. And the report is then divided. 10 spies say, we can't do this, we should turn back. And the 2, Caleb and Joshua, say, we can do this, we should go forwards. And then God spoke, and God's verdict is always final, and God spoke over Caleb, and he said this, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. Notice that phrase, a different spirit, and follows me wholeheartedly, he shall possess the land. And so I'm sure our ears are pricking up and we're asking that question. Well then, what was different about Caleb? What was this different spirit? And how can we be a people who have the different spirit that can make that turn and enter the Promised Land, all that God has for us as a church and individually in our moment of time? Well, there's 3 things I want to bring. What kind of courage makes the turn? And what is this different spirit? The first is, courage puts God in first place. Courage puts God in first place. The thing that God identifies about Caleb that's different is that he follows me wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. In fact, we don't know much about Caleb in the Bible, but we are told 5 times that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. It's as if you actually met Caleb, it wouldn't take long before he was talking about the Lord, before you became aware that the thing that dominated his life was his commitment to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I find that challenging, because you could probably spend quite a bit of time with me outside of a church context, and it would be a long time before you realized that I am following the Lord. But Caleb was wholehearted, not half-hearted. I believe if we are half-hearted, we won't make that turn. We will be anxious rather than courageous. The key to courage is that we put God in first place. And I know for myself, there have been certain seasons of my life where you have to sort of come through on this again. It's not that you nail this once and it's all sorted. You have to repeatedly come through on this issue of, am I living either to please myself or more importantly, to please other people? Or am I living to please the Lord? Notice the Lord says of Caleb, he is my servant. It's not just that we need to be saved, It's possible to live as someone who's genuinely saved by grace. We're saved, but we're not living as servants of the Lord. We're living to serve ourselves or to serve the agenda or the applause of others. And if we live that kind of way, we get caught. We've got a foot in God's camp. We're wanting to please the Lord, and yet we've got a foot in the other camp. We're wanting to please other people, and you only have to play this out for a little while, and it becomes painful. About as far as I can go, probably. We get caught doing the spiritual splits. No. To be courageous is first and foremost about putting 2 feet in God's camp and saying, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will not live to please the agenda of others and for the applause of men. We will live to please God. Caleb, if you met him, he had that about him. Can I ask you today, are you caught doing the spiritual splits? Maybe trying to be a Christian, but also in a relationship that's toxic, or holding on to resentment and anger that's pulling you back, or living with a hidden addiction, or living with financial compromise. Listen, living the spiritual splits is a painful way, and you get neither properly. I encourage you today, let's step out of compromise and say, courage puts God in first place. I will be wholehearted for the Lord. But then secondly, and only as we build our lives on that foundation, courage puts God in first place, then secondly, courage can put fear in its place. Courage puts God in first place, and then we can put fear in its place. And if this story we've had read is about anything, it's about faith and fear being juxtaposed, literally, in the 10 spies that speak fear and the 2, Caleb and Joshua, that speak faith. And we're seeing here a narrative depiction of what it means to make our decisions out of fear or out of faith. And I really want to home in on that, right? Please hear me now. It's not about whether we feel fear. The key issue is what we make our decisions out of. Please hold on to that, because otherwise we miss the point and we think that Caleb was just one of these brave types who was immune from fear, and that's what God's calling us to. No. We will, of course, feel the fear. I think Caleb will have done. It's not about what we feel, it's what we make our decisions out of. And Caleb is someone who demonstrates that when we put God in first place, we can then put fear in its place. Now again, let me speak firstly about what fear isn't before we describe what it is. What faith is. Faith is not pretending or hiding from the facts. Faith is not some mustering up a disconnect from reality and closing our eyes to what's clearly the case so that we can pretend everything's okay. Now notice, Moses, under God's instruction, authorized the reconnaissance mission to discover what challenges they would face. In other words, God wanted his people to see the facts. God is not afraid of the facts, and he doesn't want his people to hide from the facts. Faith is not closing our eyes and pretending, right? But what is faith? Well, perhaps from this story we could define it this way. If fear leaves God out of the equation, faith is putting God in the equation. Faith is able to look at the facts, but not to be blinded by them to the point that we allow fear to leave God out. Faith brings God back into the equation and makes its decisions based on who God is and what he's promised. I think that's faith. It's not pretending, it's not hiding, it's putting God into the equation. Now you notice in the story that the 10 spies who gave in to fear, that was their issue. It wasn't that Caleb pretended that the giants weren't really in the land. They all acknowledged they'd seen giants. But the 10 spies summarized the situation as, it's us, small little Israel, against all of these opponents, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. They list all the ites, and notice what they don't mention is God. Their equation doesn't have God in it. And of course, if that is the equation, we might as well give up and run away. Fear leaves God out of the equation. And what's the result? Well, we start catastrophizing. Did you notice that in the passage? When fear takes over, we start generating scenarios that don't actually exist in our minds. They go beyond the facts and they start speaking mythology now. Do you notice they say the land that we explored, it devours people? Well, hang on a minute. That's not facts now. That's fear speaking. That's mythology. Ground, land, soil doesn't eat people, right? Now you've gone beyond the facts and fear is catastrophizing. You're entertaining scenarios that don't actually exist. They say we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. Well, no, that's not the facts anymore. That's fear conjuring up worrying scenarios to hold us back. And this is something, if you've experienced this like I have, this is something that can be very powerful. We can find our minds racing away beyond facts into a form of mythology that fear conjures up, and before we know it, we're shadow boxing scenarios that don't actually exist. Anyone else? Is this just me? I see those hands also. It's all of us, isn't it? Isn't that what happens late at night? Isn't that what also loses your peace? Is the potential for anxiety to set in because we're shadow boxing with a form of mythology that's gone beyond the facts to what might happen if? Well, that's where Caleb steps in, and it says he silenced the people. Faith is prepared to listen to the facts, but faith silences fear. Faith says we're not going to allow fear to have the microphone and simply worry us into stepping back from what God has for us. Faith says, no, we will listen to the facts, but we're not going to make our decisions out of fear. Why? Not because we're so strong and bold and significant. No, because God is with us. That's what Caleb says, isn't it? Don't be afraid of them. The Lord is with us. If we open the door to fear when we leave God out, we close the door on fear by bringing God back in. Amen? If we let fear in when we leave God out, we get fear out by deliberately bringing God back in. That's what Caleb does. Hang on a minute, we've forgotten something. A little small detail. God is with us. And that changes the equation. That revises our decision-making process. We're not going to make our decisions in life bullied by fear. We will be a people of faith. The Lord is with us. And as Paul will later write in Romans 8, if God is for us, you're not supposed to speak, are you? Who can be against us? Are you allowed to speak? You're not allowed to sing. Anyway, let's not get into those details. If God is for us, who can be against us? And what Caleb didn't know, we also know. How much more should this be true for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who'll bring any charge against God's elect? You know, it's this defiance that Paul has. Not because of how great we are, but because of how great God is, because he didn't even spare his own son. Well, then we're not a people who step back in fear. We're a people who are able to feel the fear, but we make our decisions in faith. Amen? Courage puts God in first place, and then it can put fear in its place. And I encourage us, whatever else our world is feeling and shaking and quaking right now, and whatever worried scenarios you may genuinely be facing, by all means, face up to the facts. Have very honest and real conversations individually and as a church. But let us not give in to fear. Let's not give the microphone to fear. We're a people who say, no, God is for us. Who can be against us? And I often find, when I feel afraid, when I feel fear or anxiety, I often find what I've got to do is not deny that, but I need to introduce a higher thought. I need to go over the head of that fear and that fearful worrying and introduce something that's bigger and more certain, which of course is where we find the scriptures come, isn't it? I often call to mind some scriptures I've committed to memory for precisely those moments where my mind otherwise might worry me into fear. And I think of Genesis 15, verse 3. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your great reward. And there's a bit of courage goes back into the soul when you just bring those scriptures to mind. I often go to Hebrews 13. Since God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. You've got to get hold of those higher thoughts and pull them back into the equation on your side. And remember, since he said he's not going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us, I will not be afraid. That's courage. It puts God in first place, and then it can put fear in its place. And they all lived happily ever after. I'm afraid that's not quite how the story goes, and that's why I've got 3 points, not two, and that's why there's another 5 minutes coming at you. Because life is not quite as simple as they lived happily ever after, is it? Sometimes, and this is true with Caleb, you can do the right thing, and the wrong thing happens, seemingly, from your side of the perspective. Sometimes you can step forwards boldly, take a risk for God, and it doesn't work out as neatly as you thought it should. And that's exactly what happens with Caleb. You see, he speaks faith. He makes his decisions out of faith. We can certainly do this. But unfortunately, fear, the fear of the 10 other spies, you know, fear really spreads. Fear's the real virus. It's incredibly contagious. And it spreads through the camp. And before you know it, despite Caleb's courage, the whole company, including Caleb, are now turning back into the wilderness. They don't make the turn, they turn back, and Caleb spends over 40 years now wandering in the wilderness with the very people who screwed it up for him. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? Can you imagine what kind of an old man would you expect to meet in Caleb? 45 years later, he's been wandering around with the very people he messed up. You would expect to meet, wouldn't you? A bitter, resentful, miserable old man. Well, that is not actually what we find. And that's why there's a third point to this message. Courage puts God in first place, puts fear in its place, and courage never gives up. Because we read in Joshua 14... this is Caleb speaking, 45 years of wandering in the wilderness, verse 10, now then, I love that, now then, where were we 45 years later? Now then, where were we? Just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then, so give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard that the Anakites were there and their cities large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance, and it's been his descendants ever since. Isn't that a fantastic old man you're meeting in Caleb, right? 85 years of age, but he's still got such spiritual vigor and courage that has never given up on the promise of God. I love meeting these kinds of people. I mean, in the scriptures and in person, because you come across them sometimes, people who've experienced some pretty tough challenges in life. They've had some major setbacks. They've been round the block many more times than I have, but they are still believing God. They're still taking risks. They're still stepping out in faith. Courage that never gives up. I think of an old man who was part of the church I used to lead in Cornwall, and he called Edward. He'd had a tragedy when his young son was tragically killed. In other words, he'd faced some of the brutal realities of life. It's not that he'd lived some sheltered existence. But instead of becoming someone who dampened down young people's faith, you know, you'll learn, it's not as simple as that, you know, almost pouring cold water on excitement. No, the 85-year-old Edward was the most passionate person in our prayer meetings, the most enthusiastic. When we as a church sort of stepped up to make another decision that was risky and going beyond what we could underwrite in our own strength, Edward was the most encouraging for me as the pastor to say, come on, let's have a go. What a fantastic experience to meet someone who's been round the block many times, but he's still believing God for more, and he puts courage into you. I want to encourage us to be those kinds of people, because here's the thing. It slightly revises that rather rude question that we're not meant to ask each other. How old are you? Can I ask you this morning, how old are you? And when you look in the scriptures, you realize it's not as straightforward as we thought, because it's not the same as how many birthdays you have. According to Caleb, the question, how old are you, is really, how much spiritual adventure have you got left in you? How much are you still prepared to take risks in faith for God's call? You see, it's possible to be 85 years of age and still really young, still vigorous for God. And it's possible to be in your 30s and become a spiritual pensioner. Honestly, it's possible to grow old far too early in the kingdom of God and almost enter a stage of early retirement because now, well, we've got a couple of kids and a mortgage and we just need to play it safe and stay indoors. Hey, hang on, we're serving the Lord. There's a bigger call than that. We're called to be those like Caleb who say, no, if God has promised, then we're not backing down. We will keep stepping out of our comfort zones, pursuing God's call and God's kingdom. Amen? So how old are you? And please just think again about how many birthdays you've had. How much spiritual adventure have you got left in you? I believe God is calling his people precisely at this moment when our world is in a state of disarray. It's the church that needs to make a turn to a fresh and bold position in living out the call and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need for that to have Caleb's spirit. Courage puts God in first place. It puts fear in its place, and courage never gives up. Amen. I'd like to pray for us. And if you feel freshly you would like a bit more of this kind of Caleb courage, I'd like to pray for a fresh impartation of this courage through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And just so you are just being active rather than passive, and I'd like to invite you as I pray, just to, if you need courage, maybe you're facing some of those fears or you've stepped back a bit from full commitment to the Lord, just reach out your hands in front of you as a sign of openness to the Lord. Today, Lord, I don't want to be caught doing the spiritual splits or hiding in fear indoors. I want to step out, Lord, into what you have called me to. And if you're in that place, as I am, would you just reach out your hands, and I'd like to pray fresh courage into your soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures and now for the Holy Spirit who applies your word so that it lives in our hearts. And I pray now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, would you come by your Spirit and impart spiritual courage. We are naturally fearful and compromised, prone to discouragement and turning back. But Lord, you have called us to step forwards. And now is the time for your people to step up and be bold with the good news of Jesus. And I pray for those with their hands lifted to you. In the name of Jesus, receive spiritual courage and live it out to the glory of God. Amen.